This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvraj, and in a few minutes, I'll be joined by Arif Imran. He's the group CEO of Serve, which is a very interesting company that sort of brings digitalization to the vehicle ownership and maintenance process. And I say interesting because basically what it does is it removes all the paperwork from buying a car or the process of buying a car. Everything is on an app. It's a one-stop shop, one-stop solution kind of thing. And then it also keeps track of everything you've done to the car and what needs to be done in the future. So stuff like service appointments, repairs, all that stuff, which honestly sounds great until you realize that most people who buy a new car are obviously going to take that car to an authorized service center for at least about 3 to 5 years. So why would they depend on Serve, right? Why would they need this platform or this app? That is where the company's proposition gets interesting, which we'll get into later on in the show. We'll also talk about signing up merchants, what is that process like, and why that was a problem when they first started. Lots of ups and downs to get through, but I think a good place to start our conversation would be to talk about Serve's gap in the market, or at least the gap in the market that they were trying to close. So, Arif, thanks so much for joining us today via Zencaster.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Arvind. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, so like I said, first things first, let's talk about the problem that you're trying to fix with Serve. What is the gap in the market that you're tackling at the moment?
So, basically, I would like to share why Serve is being incorporated at the beginning first. Mm-hmm. So, Serve is actually, we founded Serve with the purpose to serve people through technology. So why we enter into this automotive industry, automotive sector, basically because automotive is one of the sector that have the most problems in the country, basically. So when there's a lot of problem, means that there's a lot of opportunity too. So, and it is also because of my own personal experience of owning a vehicle is kind of mafan, or it's kind of complicated in terms of what to do, where to go, and all that. So why not? It's going to be great if there's a solution that can help me in managing my own vehicle. So because of that, we kind of try to validate the market. Then we look at other vehicle owners which have similar experience, similar problems. Mm-hmm. Don't know how to maintain their vehicles, like all the receipt stuff and all that, everything is manual, paper, like missing invoices, receipt and all that. And the understanding as well. So it means, let's say if anything happened to your vehicle, basically most of the customers, most of the vehicle owners, they don't really know what to do and where to go, who to call and everything. Mm-hmm. So we kind of come into that, like, okay, let's build a solution for this. So how do we simplify all this and then make it more seamless in terms of experience? Anything can be accessible using your phone, and then all the record, whatever being done or whatever you do to your vehicle, basically, you can access it back all using just a mobile app. And in Malaysia, if we dive deep into Malaysia, actually has in terms of percentage of vehicle ownership. So people in Malaysia, population in Malaysia, basically more than 90% own a vehicle, actually. Mm-hmm. And from that, more than 90% of vehicle ownerships, only, let's say, 20 million vehicles, only 1 million is a new vehicle. Means people that really know where to go, which is the service centers and all. But we have another 19 million number of vehicles basically out of a warranty. Then don't really have enough information or really where to go and what to do. Mm-hmm. In terms of their vehicles.
I'll come back to the what you said about the warranty later, because that was one of my questions. But before that, I want to ask, like, so how is Serve different from, say, other ownership apps and concepts in the market? You know, what sets Serve apart? Like, what is unique about you? Because I know that even locally, like, Peredua has its own app. And I know, like, other makes, they have their own apps to remind them about their service, tell them where to go. So what is unique about Serve?
Basically, how we do different from the other solution is that normally all the other app, let's say app or web or other solutions, they focus on what services do do they provide, basically. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's really about vehicle ownership. It means it's about you and your vehicle. So we manage every vehicle as they have their own persona. Means they have their own profile. So your vehicle will have their own profile inside your app. And then whatever being done, whatever needed, whatever record transaction to that particular vehicles and your car have, inspection report and all that can be accessible using your app. So basically, it's about the positioning. So we are introducing a consumer-centric kind of solution. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's not about services that we are being we are selling from our merchant or from our vendors. But basically, it's about you and your vehicle. And that vehicle need, let's say, if that vehicle need particular any particular services, then we connect to any particular service providers around you. So that's how we differentiate ourselves from the others.
So which means that, you know, the merchants that you partner with have to, quote unquote, they have to understand what Serve is doing, right? Or they have to sort of link with Serve so that they are able to upload that data and then they're able to update the app so you know where this person has gone in service and what they've done to their car. So how do you partner with these merchants? Like in terms of benefits of being on Serve, what's in it for them? Because you've got quite a good sign-up rate and an onboarding process. So what is the benefit for them?
Yeah, so basically we have two type of merchants, basically. One type is for merchants that is for companies that having their own solutions. So that this kind of merchant, this kind of partner, we just partner up by collaborating and do all the integrations, basically like Betriku, MyAC by MyEG, mm-hmm. and insurance road tax renewal and all that. We don't really put so much effort in onboarding the merchants. It's kind of partnerships. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the merchants, in terms of all these retail businesses, like the workshops, so there's going to be accessory shops and so on. So what we provide to them is, of course, first of all, is the basically the marketplace, the accessibility from our own app, from our users. So now we have a 12-digit number, more than 11,000, close to 12,000 number of users, mm-hmm. with around 80% active rate compared to others, right? So we are our users are quite active. So basically, by having their solutions, by having their shops inside our app, can provide access, can provide accessibility to that users. But another one is that we're providing them the, basically it's an end-to-end workshop management system. Mm-hmm. So they can subscribe the same system with others, but we are providing that system for free. So they can use the management system, means the invoicing, record keeping, the simple CRM and with data analytics and all that. So we provide that system for free. So we just charge in terms of a transaction, digital transaction that happened between our users and their shops. So that's how we really like tackle what's in it for them, lah.
I see. Okay. And what if, like, let's say someone who is using Serve mm-hmm. goes to a different workshop that is not linked to Serve, and then they get something done. Let's say they change, you know, windshield or tires or something. How are they going to update the app so that it reflects on Serve? Like how is that data uploaded?
So for now, it's not available yet, but it's in our pipeline that if even it is not, so the merchant is not registered to, the shop is not registered as a Serve merchant yet. Mm-hmm. So basically the users will be able to kind of put in their data, put in their information, and then the reminders and all is going to be available for that kind of purpose as well. But it's not really live as our features yet, but it's in our pipeline of this year.
Okay. Speaking of pipelines, you started in 2016 and Serve was, it was slightly different than it is now, right? So you've made a few changes along the way, tweaked the app a bit. So can you talk to us about those changes? Like, what did you learn since then and what did you fix and change along the way?
So after we validated the market, okay, there are demand for this. We started by just providing service on the go, means on-demand services. So any services that the maintenance, like maintenance, that you don't have to drive your vehicle to that, your car to any particular workshop. So basically the partners will come to you, mm-hmm. right? And then do the service on the side, at the side. So we started by doing that, validate the market. And then 2017, end of September, we released our first version of the app. So it is basically a peer-to-peer model. So which the customers, mean the drivers, they can just request. And then nearby workshop that is available, we just accept and then come to that location. But the thing is, the first version didn't really work. So we learned it hard way. Basically, so we validated the demand, but we didn't really validate the process. We didn't really go through the process of the flow. It happens that there's a lot of downloads happen at that time during after we released that October of 2017. But the thing is, we got zero job match. So we tried to copy a model of e-hailing last time. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the different of behavior that we didn't really look at, we didn't aware of that. Behavior of people who drive e-hailing and behavior of mechanic, which is so busy, which are quite busy at their workshops, the mechanic don't really hold their phone as often as e-hailing drivers. E-hailing drivers, they switch on available and then they will just place the phone in front of their face, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in their workshops in the automotive scene. So because of that, from so many requests, mm-hmm. right, we got only one auto match happen. It means match from the app, mm-hmm. from the system. So that one, even that one match, actually it was set up. So one of my ex partner, basically he said, "Oh, I want to try surf." And then I asked him on what date, on what time. Okay, so I just call one of the provider, one of our earliest provider. Mm-hmm. So, okay, bro, please be available. If that's a thing, then accept it. So then that match happened for one match of that particular month. So from there, what happened is that end or middle of October, so surf app went viral. So one lady, which one of our customer, because of all the high touch approach that we did, because of the high touch approach, approach happened because of the app didn't work. So we need to call one by one of the customers, and our customer experience becomes so good that people started to like share it, right? Even though the app was not working, so, but because of that high touch, right? Yeah. So one lady tweeted about us. Like the tweet sounds like this lah. Dear ladies out there, these are the on-demand services that you have to know so that you don't have to rely on your useless boyfriend. I still remember that tweet. Number one was Grab/Uber, and then number four was Surf. So among the top, so we scrapped. Basically, we scrapped the first version.
Yeah.
So we off command any auto match or whatever provided. We scrapped that, and then it become a booking app. So we just booking, then everything is being arranged manually lah at the back. We learned at that time it's not about technology innovation lah, whatever, zero human intervention ke, whatever. So it is supposed to be value innovation. So we learn in a hard way. So we go hybrid lah, I mean semi-manual, but still there's matching. But on 2019 also, we started to introduce the vehicle ownership, digital vehicle ownership concept. So I mean, it's not about services anymore. It's about vehicle ownership. Then we connect related services, connected services, which is related. From there, we got around 90% activation of new users. Means user really save their vehicles, and then after that, we started to update. They can upload their road tax, insurance policy, and all that just for record keeping. And then we are seeing people already started to use that. Means it's not about services anymore. People started to upload their insurance road tag just to have it to be referred back. Mm-hmm. And then they started to put in their road tags, even license, date, and all that just to be reminded using our app. So that's the evolution lah. Evolution. So what we have today is so different than what we have 2017, basically.
So I have a few more questions to ask, but we will have to pause for a few minutes to get some messages in. In the meantime, I am speaking to Arif Imran, Group CEO of Surf, which is an app that takes the paperwork out of car ownership. This is Open for Business, and we'll be back in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and this is the digitalization of car ownership and maintenance via a company called Serve. That's the topic that we are discussing on today's show. And I'm speaking with Serve CEO Arif Imran. So I'm curious about something you said earlier, because you mentioned that, you know, for everyone who's still under warranty, they normally have their own service centers, they have their own apps for reminders, and they will go and service at the nearest service outlet. So, or only their service centers. Is that like an issue for you? Because it's kind of like you lose touch with that customer for 3 to 5 years and then they come back after their warranty runs out. Or is there a different way that you're approaching this?
Yeah, so actually, it was and still is lah a problem. But the thing is, the way we approach, so that now we expanded, we kind of expanded and also expanding the value proposition. So it's not about maintenance. So if you're under warranty, only the maintenance, you are like binded to that any particular service centers, but not insurance, not car wash, not accessories, not other kind of services. So that's why we are expanding that that services, that connected services too, so that our app, even your vehicle or your car is new, you can also rely and use our app. Maybe not maintenance yet, but in the future, so for short term and middle term, so we collaborate with other service providers too, other than the maintenance service and repair. But for the long term approach is that we are going to partner up with all these, and then we are talking to basically to some of the OEM, so that even you just bought your vehicle, you can also have it being recorded on Serve app.
What about your revenue stream though? Like, how does your revenue work? Because you have a lot of partnerships, like you mentioned, with different service providers, different merchants. Where does Serve's cut come from?
So basically, we got some cut from transaction. So basically, there are service on the go, means this one we just take around 2%, like 5% for any connected services which are the partners, because they have their own armada or battalion of service providers and all that. So we don't want to take so much. So this one is like 5%, but for providers that really rely fully on our app, our providers app and all that, we take around 15%. For on-demand services. But for the drive-in, basically we just take some cut of around 2% per transaction. But and then another revenue stream is that we got from all this customization of solution. So we have some corporate client which want similar app like Serve, but they want it for a different type of verticals altogether. So we have some sort of customization lah for this. So this one is a big ticket size customization model or revenue model.
You know, you've recently partnered with Pitchin, which is a crowdsourcing platform. Since we're talking about like revenue and money and finance and all that, tell us about that. Like why opt for crowdsourcing?
Like I shared earlier, the first reason of Serve is being a form. The purpose is to serve people, right? I mean, so it should also be partly owned by people. So that's why we choose ECF. So normally, traditionally, last time, all the publics or retail investors or angel investors, right? Retail investors, they could only come in when before pre-IPO or during IPO, right? But not at the beginning of the company. If you come in at the pre-IPO, IPO, IPO stage, it means that you couldn't ride on the growth stage of the company anymore. So it's going to be like few percentage, but it's not going to be 10, 20 or 100x kind of multiple from your initial investment. So for us, why we approach through equity crowdfunding through ECF or Pitchin is to allow our supporters, users, customers and also our merchants, all these workshops to come in and really have that stake in Serve in our company, so that we can grow this business or this platform together in future.
It is a very it's a more modern approach as well. That's why I asked, you know, these options for crowdsourcing and all, they're relatively new, right? Was getting funding an issue for you before? Like what is the main issue with that?
So Basically, from our beginning, we rejected some offers from some investor. Basically, mm-hmm. we kind of bootstrapped it until now. So we haven't really go for equity financing even before, but we did receive a conditional grant from Cradle and also from Traju. Mm-hmm. Superb, we won Superb 2019, we won Cradle 2018. But I think, and then even without that huge amount of funding from VC and so on, seed or pre-A and all that, but we still managed to kind of double our revenue growth year on year. It has been for 3 years. So even we closed last year with 1.6 million ringgit, and then we become profitable last year. So I think this is the time that we really want to push to growth, and then this is the time that very suitable for us to fundraise, to really go at the $1 billion kind of valuation and become the market leader, at least in Southeast Asia.
Okay, so who are your competitors in the market? You know, because when you mention billion-dollar companies, huge companies, biggest in Southeast Asia, then it puts you in a different league, right? So
yep.
Who are your main guys in the market that you are competing with?
Having said about becoming a regional player, so for now, the same concept of the real digital vehicle ownership experience, so it's kind of new in the market. We are not seeing any significant player that really approach in this way. Mm-hmm. But of course, it can be any people that have certain number of users, or maybe we are seeing a car platform like Karo from Singapore already started to really introduce something similar. And a bit from Philippines, and also in Indonesia, we are seeing some player at the mid of Pulau Jawa basically try to also doing almost similar things. And then even if it's new concept in the market, the vehicle ownership, I think there's going to be a lot more player coming. Even we are seeing local player as well that started to try to approach in the same directions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a couple of more questions, Arif. So what kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment with Serv?
So for now, of course, challenges is one is educating market, education of the market. And then actually we are happy when some players started to approach in the similar directions, becoming competitive, so that we can actually educate the market faster. And then another one is challenges in terms of really iterate and innovate our product to become a product market fit. Mm-hmm. And then we are two-sided marketplace. Not just about the user. Yes, we introduce vehicle ownership and all, but also to get all these merchants to be using our app, really actively using our app, our solutions. So this one is also one of the challenges. But how we approach this is that we approach in an agile method, means whatever requirements, feedback from the merchants, we really iterate it and repair it quite quickly. So we have every 2 weeks release of new alterations or improvement, both sides, the app and also the merchant side. So yeah, we adapt. We need to move really quickly and super fast lah. And then that's why also we are raising fund now, so that we can move faster. So I think it is sweet time to really push for growth lah this year.
Nice. I think a good way to end this interview would be to talk about expansion, because we're still at the beginning of the year. 2021 still new. People don't know what's going to happen, right? What are your plans for the coming year? How do you plan to expand? What is next for Serv?
So yeah, I talked to my team that 2021, it is safe to plan as if we are going to have a lockdown the whole year, right? Okay. That one of the input that I talked to them.
Yeah.
But another thing, we have a clear roadmap or objective or key result that we want to achieve this year.
Mm.
First of all, in terms of the current the numbers, so currently we have 12,000 number of users, nine over 1,000 number of vehicles, mean 9,000 active users. But we want to push the number of active users up to 200,000 this year. So it's kind of big enhancement of numbers. And also, we are targeting to have at least 2,000 number of merchants active in our app, in our platform by this year. And we are targeting around 20,000 kind of number of transactions every month by the end of the year. Another one that is for local expansion, but we're also looking into having a pilot at least in another country by this year.
So, okay, I know that was, I wanted that to be the last question, but I just want to add on like one thing. Since you said to your team that, you know, we should expect 2021 to be like a full lockdown, but at the same time, you're expanding to have more cars, more merchants, more service centers. Yeah. How do you tackle side by side? Because if it's a full lockdown, it means that less people are driving, less people, maybe less people buying cars. I don't know. So how do you balance the two?
Yeah, so basically what interesting is that, yeah, it's kind of challenging, even last year, right? But I think what we saw last year, we managed to onboard the merchants nationwide without traveling nationwide.
Okay.
So, yeah, we are seeing all these, even workshops, owner and all that, they started to adapt and then be that being like, okay, by just onboarding, but by just registering and having the tutorial, how do they use our solutions by using Google Meet?
All virtual.
Yeah, all virtual. And then we're seeing the number of activation, the number of transactions outside of Klang Valley basically was more than number of transaction, number of merchant that are active inside Klang Valley.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because of that. So I think there's a silver lining and also some bless about that because last time we really need to go to that particular states or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, even the one that we did some sort of activation challenge, means that the more active you use our app, basically for merchants like activation challenge, and then you get some token, you get a ticket for lucky draw. So the one that won the lucky draw for a few times, were more probably mostly are the outside of Klang Valley, in Ipoh, like in some district in Ipoh and all that. So yeah, it's not about actually really needed to go there.
Interesting. I mean, I hope that we don't have a lockdown for 2021. I hope things get better and
stuff. But we just set it as a base, so that if PKP is uplifted, that then it's a bonus lah.
It's a bonus. It's a good way to plan. Arif, thanks so much for your time.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome.
You can stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website, bfm.my, or the BFM app, which you can download for free, Apple App Store, Google Play. We are also on Spotify. You can find us under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.